I want to read a verse from the book of Judges. Book of Judges and chapter 16. The book of Judges, chapter 16. It is about Samson. We talk about him as being the strongest man. Remember, Philistines couldn't understand where his strength came from. It came from the Lord, of course. In verse 3 of chapter 16 of Judges, we read this. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Let us just pray briefly. Father in heaven, we thank thee for even the reminder of the children that come to the services. Bless each one of them, we pray. May they be like the lambs that are carried upon our Saviour's shoulders and indeed in his bosom, as we read in Isaiah 40. As we turn now to consider thy word, may we see the Lord Jesus Christ and may we be encouraged. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The shoulder is mentioned 81 times in Scripture. 81 times in the word of the Lord. And it is an interesting study. The shoulder, of course, is a symbol of strength, sometimes of authority, and of course of great power. You ever heard expressions that we use the shoulder in a symbolic, figurative way? We talk about, you look as if you've got the whole weight in your shoulders. Somebody that seems so worried. We sometimes say to people, you need to put your shoulder to the wheel. What that means is you need some diligence. You need to work hard. Back to the days when there weren't motor cars, but there were great wagons or carts. And the large wheel would sometimes get stuck in a rut in the road. So the men had to get down and had to put their shoulder to the wheel to get it over the obstacle. So it's a symbol of getting down to work. Maybe at young at school, you get the report and the parent, now you need to put your shoulder to the wheel and start studying. What it means is, give it your strength. But as you get older in life, there are times you say, I wish I had a shoulder to cry upon. I wish I had a shoulder to lean upon. We use the shoulder in everyday language, and I believe those expressions and others are actually illustrations of the great work of our Saviour. So let me just pick out some incidents in the Bible where the shoulder is mentioned. We begin here. And I see here illustrated in Samson the shoulders of our Saviour. The shoulders of our Saviour. You know, an interesting thing about these judges who ruled Israel at this time, we sometimes think a judge was simply someone upon a bench with a funny wig and robes who makes a decision. No, that's not exactly what the meaning of a judge was. Over in the book of Nehemiah 9 and 27, it says the people cried to God because of the enemies, and God sent them saviors. The very word saviors is used to describe these judges. Samson's one of them. So a judge was in fact a deliverer, and in fact the Bible calls him a savior. So of course, he's an illustration. He's a signpost to the perfect savior who would come and deliver us not only from earthly enemies, but from the enemy of death and sin himself. It's interesting that Samson and the savior's our Lord Jesus Christ's birth were both foretold. They were both foretold. And I've said it was through the power of the Spirit Samson carried out his ministry. It was through the power of the Spirit the Lord Jesus Christ carried out his ministry. But here's the picture. The enemies are around the city. They have them enclosed in. In those days there were gates in the city and the gates are locked. And he's kept in. It's midnight. And when midnight comes, what does he do? Here's the enemy. They're all around him. He goes to the gate and he puts his shoulder to the gate and he just pushes it, and he pushes so hard, he takes it off the, in fact, the posts and all. He takes the posts and all. Now, don't you try it on the gates of the doors going out this morning. But can you imagine these, not doors like we have here, even the front doors, the doors of a city. And Samson, with his shoulders, takes those doors and posts and all, and he went through the enemy, and he carried up them up to the hill called Hebron, which means fellowship, communion. Do you not see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Old Testament was written to point to the coming Savior. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary paid our sins in his own body on the tree. He took our burdens upon him. He worked diligently to provide salvation. And then his body lay in the tomb. His body lay in the tomb. The enemy death, you could say, was around about. But you know that great hymn, "Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. For up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes." Lord Jesus Christ tore away the doors and the gates and the very posts of death and hell. He's the great victor. He's our great champion. And he went all the way to glory. Fellowship with his Father again. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the power of his shoulders in redeeming us, in saving us. Praise God for such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. But then we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 5. Here you have the parable of the shepherd. The parable of the shepherd. And so we're turning now from the picture of the Savior to the parable of the shepherd. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ is picturing himself. We're the sheep. And in Luke 15, we're the ones that are lost. And we're helpless. We're away in the mountain, wild and bare, as we sing in the hymn. And we can't find our way back. And we're weak, we're helpless, we're hopeless. But thank God for the shepherd's desire to go after us individually. Just one sheep. And the Lord is pictured as the shepherd having the desire to seek that shepherd. And he kept seeking it and seeking it until he found it. And then he lifted the sheep. And he put it upon his shoulders. Oh, you can see him reaching down and rescuing the sheep. Taking the sheep out of the danger, putting it upon his shoulders. Now that sheep is safe. And then where does he take it? He takes it home again. Takes the sheep home, carries them. You see, the road may be rough, but what is that to the sheep? The sheep's on the shoulders of a shepherd. The journey may be long, but what does that matter to the sheep? Is the sheep's on the shoulders of the shepherd? You know, the sheep may be weak and helpless, but what does that matter? It's on the shoulders of the shepherd. And we are the sheep. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, we can say we're born up. We're born along. We're born through. We're born home. Thank God this morning, every child of God, we see the picture. We're on his shoulders this morning. He has us safely on his shoulders. Oh, thank God for that wonderful picture. Are you there? Or are you still lost? Cry out to him. Cry out to the shepherd to come and lift you and put you upon his shoulders. But then I think of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You probably know the passage well. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. We come now to the prophecy of the sovereign. We've had the picture of the Savior. We've had the parable of the sheep. Now you think of the prophecy of the sovereign. And over in Isaiah 9 and 6, we have the wonderful prophecy hundreds of years before the Savior was born. And the very names are given of the coming Redeemer. He's going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his government there shall be no end. We're told here that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And of course you see the specific language that the prophet wrote. The child is born, but the son is given. The prophet those hundreds of years before didn't write, a son will be born. Of course, that's right. The man-child, Lord Jesus Christ. But the point is, a child is born, but the son is given, because he's the eternal son. He's God the son. And God gave his son. So the language is so specific. Hundreds of years before. How inspired is our book, the Bible. You know, he's wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, the prince of peace. Now, it doesn't surprise us then that we're told in verse 6, and the government shall be upon, and watch this is lovely, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He doesn't need both shoulders. The rule of this universe, the control of every star, every planet, every solar system, every molecule, every atom, every sparrow that falls to the ground. It's there. This is no Charles Atlas mythology. This is no legend. He holds everything by the word of his power, and he doesn't need both shoulders to do it. Thank God when he takes his sheep and puts them upon his shoulders. What security we have as his people. But oh, listen, he's in control. Listen, he does have the weight of the world upon his shoulder. So Christian, why do you have it on your shoulder? You know the story of the missionary who was going through terrible trouble, and somebody says, how can you sleep? He said, well, the Lord's looking after the problem. The Bible says the Lord neither slumbers or sleeps, so why should both of us stay awake? He didn't mean it in any irreverent way, but he was spot on. He holds the universe. If you happen to have your Bible, if you want to turn to the verse, or I'll quote it to you, turn over to chapter 22 of Isaiah. There's a lovely verse you may not be familiar with. This again is a prophecy, although it's used of a man called Eliakim, but it's obviously a prophecy of Christ. Isaiah 22, verse 22. Isaiah 22, verse 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. That's some key, isn't it? To lay upon your shoulder. Now, I don't know if originally the one to Jerusalem, the key of the city, maybe it was a massive, massive key that you turned. Or maybe the shoulder's used in the sense of authority. He has the authority. It's on his shoulder. He has it. You say, how do I know that's Christ? Of course it's speaking a prophecy. But you see, over in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. He hath the keys of death and of hell. Isaiah's talking about the prophecy of the sovereign. You know, this morning, the key of all events, providence, control. People think the world's hurtling out of control. It's not. He orders all events at his command. He's absolutely sovereign. The world is upon his shoulder. I refer to one very quickly. We don't have time on it. There's the privilege of a son. The privilege of a son. I get that from Deuteronomy 33 verse 12. The privilege of a son. Deuteronomy 33 verse 12. Benjamin. And by the way, he's called Little Benjamin. He was the youngest of the sons, the tribe of Benjamin. Little Benjamin. Deuteronomy 33:12. Beloved of the Lord. Isn't that lovely? Benjamin, son of my right hand, that means beloved of the Lord, shall dwell in safety by him. Listen, and he shall carry him between his shoulders. Oh, I see a picture of a father there. That's why I called it the privilege of a son. Carry between the shoulders. In Papua New Guinea, that's where the women would have carried the babies and the toddlers in a bag strapped over their head, just here between the shoulders. We all know the picture of a father and the little child. And I thought about it even when young Leo came up here. He made it on his own. I was wondering, was David going to pick him up and put him on his shoulders? That would have been the illustration for the sermon. You know how you do, the child, the toddlers and its wee legs are tired out. It can't go any further. And what does the dad do? Come on, son. That's what the verse says in Deuteronomy 33 and 12. Benjamin, he'll dwell in safety between his shoulders. Safe, protected, held, carried. Oh, Benjamin can't walk anymore. He's exhausted. But the father is carrying him. Thank God this morning, Christian, God's carrying you. He's carrying you. It says he shall cover you. In New Guinea, in the hot sun, the women used to carry the little babies on their shoulder here, and then they would take like a piece of cloth, like a veil, and put it over the child because of the hot sun. Deuteronomy 33:12 says, I'll carry him between my shoulders and cover him. Oh, thank God we're covered, we're protected, we're carried. But back to Exodus where we started, chapter 28. Do you know, in the New Testament we're told in Hebrews 2 that we have a faithful and merciful high priest. And he's able to succor us. That word means take care for us, love us, nourish us. That's Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. I'm not turning to it for time. But the high priest succors. Here's the priest who succors us. And there you have it here in verse 12 of Exodus 28. Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders. What did the priest do? The priest had this special clothing and he had two large stones, onyx stones, and the names were engraved. God's people. Believer, your name is there upon our Savior's shoulders. You see, in the Old Testament, the high priest was there that people could go to and tell them their sorrows. You remember Hannah? Eli saw her. He wasn't too sympathetic. He should have been. You would go to the priest with your problems, with your sorrows, with your heartaches. We have a sympathetic high priest. You can go to him at any time. You do have a shoulder to lean on. In fact, you're already leaning on his shoulder because he bears you up on his shoulders. The idea is, of course, I think, of our great high priest at the cross. Isaiah, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, the load of our sin, the load of our guilt, the load of our penalty. He shall bear their iniquities. He was numbered among the transgressors and bore the sin of many. And Peter in the New Testament says he bore our sins. That was a load that only Christ could bear. Is the load of your sin upon his shoulder? Has he borne it to Calvary? How terrible. How terrible it must be to still have the weight of your sin upon your own shoulders. To go out into eternity and to meet God the judge and still have the burden and the guilt of your sin upon your own shoulders. To bear it yourself for all eternity. Separated from God. But oh, thank God this morning you can come to Christ as Savior and know that he bore your sin in his own body. Ah, but the idea is too that those names were there, that Christ's unfinished work in glory. The priest would pray for the people, all the people there, the names. And this morning, isn't it wonderful to know, Christian, that there in glory the Lord Jesus Christ prays for you. When you're going through those times of illness, those times of sorrow, those times of difficulty, you have a great high priest who's bearing your name, pleading his precious blood for you. Thank God for the shoulders of our Savior. But you know, as we pointed out in these messages, Christian, we're saved to be like Christ. We're saved to be like Christ. What about your shoulders and the work of God? A Savior? Of course we cannot save anyone. Salvation is of the Lord. But you read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the last part of it. Paul said, I keep my body under. He said, I've become a slave to all men. In other words, what he means is, I'll give up my rights. I have rights. But yet, if I can reach someone with the gospel, be they Jew or Gentile, I will become a slave. I will give up my comfort, my rights. I will suffer anything that's necessary to bring that person to a saving knowledge of Christ. He says that by all means, I might save some. Now, of course he knew it's Christ that saves. He's the instrument. But we know what he means. That God would use me so that he's saying, Lord, I'm willing. And my life's goal is that I will be used to bring the gospel of saving grace to people, and that God, the Holy Spirit, through me would be the means of bringing salvation to people. Is that our goal? He said it was for the gospel's sake. What about the shoulders of the shepherd? Do you know, elders, of course, are called under-shepherds. So you have the picture there, under-shepherds. And every Christian is a sense, an under-shepherd. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. One excellent illustration. When I started to go to the Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church, as it then was, there was a member of the church, and some of you here know him. I was talking to Jim Winter before. I'm sure Jim here too remembers them. Jim Watson. Joe Black. Joe Black was an alcoholic. Way back when Dr. Paisley was a young minister on the Ravenhill Road, you would have seen drunks coming out of the public houses on a Friday night. And they started in the Ravenhill Church, a place where they would give them cups of tea, seek to get them sober. And used to lots of beer cans sitting on the windowsill outside the church. You see, the old Ravenhill Church was right on the footpath. And remember, they used to joke about it, people walking by. It's probably one of the few churches in Belfast that are old beer bottles sitting on the church window. Now, it wasn't any of the members. But, of course, they wouldn't allow them in with the bottles of beer. And Joe Black was so stocious drunk, he was a small man, so stocious drunk, that Dr. Paisley, as a young pastor, clerical collar and all on, lifted him up and put him on his shoulders and carried him in. Literally put him upon his shoulders and carried him into the Ravenhill Church. It was all seats. And got him sober. Give them cups of tea. Talked to him. Led him to Christ. And he became a worker in the church. Joe Black. Carried him literally upon his shoulders. Well, I'm not saying this morning you have to literally go and carry people on your shoulder. But all the same thing spiritually. We're to go and bear people up. We're to carry them. What about Benjamin carrying the young? Oh, we're to carry the young upon our shoulders. There's those who are feeling weak. We're told in Galatians 6, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. What about the priest? The Old Testament, you went to the priest and you could tell him your sorrows. Listen, have you a shoulder to cry? Or people can come and cry on your shoulder? Can you, in a spiritual sense, put your arm around them and comfort them? Do they know that you care for them? That's the point we're talking about. Do you care? Do you get involved? Do you share in the work? Moses was told by his father-in-law Jethro, the work's too much for you. There's a point 70 men that they may bear the burden with you. Are we bearing the burden? Are we sharing the burden? You know, oftentimes in God's work, it's not that we're tired of God's work, but sometimes we say, and maybe responsibilities in the family and home, and we realize the awful load that can be sometimes in certain situations, but I'm thinking particularly of God's work. And often we feel, Lord, take away these burdens. Lord, this load is... And I'm not thinking now about our sorrows and our heartaches. I'm not thinking in that sense. I'm thinking of the work of getting involved and caring for others. Because, of course, that if you don't care about anybody, you'll have no burden.
the more you begin to care for somebody, it costs. It is a load to be borne. And sometimes the load's heavy. And sometimes God's people will say, Lord, the weight on my shoulders is just so heavy. The care of the work. Lord, take away the burdens. Let me ask you a question. Many times do you ever hear anybody pray in the prayer meeting? Have you prayed, Lord, give me stronger shoulders that I can bear heavier burdens? Have you heard too many prayers like that? Lord, make my shoulders stronger because I want to bear more burdens. I want to carry more people to you. Lord, give us stronger shoulders for the work of God and for His glory. Make me like Samson by your Holy Spirit. Do you have strength of shoulders? You know, we could go on. We could speak about the yoke. Animals, of course, they would put the yoke upon their shoulder. We could go into scripture on that. Well, not for time. But the Lord said, take my yoke upon you, for it's easy. Now, of course, there's work. But yet it's easy work, and it's wonderful work. And it's work one day that'll be rewarded. It'll be rewarded. Work, yoke in the sense of service. I think of the priests. I must mention that one in closing. You couldn't carry the ark of God upon the ark. It had to be carried upon the shoulders. And it's our duty as a Christians and as a church to carry, as it were, the blood atonement of Christ. The atoning work of Christ. Justification by faith alone and Christ alone through grace alone. We're to carry that blessed doctrine. We're to protect it. We're to protect it. But oh, it's all because one day up Calvary's mountain, while the shoulder is not mentioned as such, it said he bore his cross. And it seems logical that he put it upon his shoulder. The wooden tree upon which he was crucified, he carried it upon his shoulder up to Calvary. Ah, but there upon that very tree, his hands were nailed, his feet were nailed. But the great mystery of redemption took place because the load, the burden, the heavy weight of our sins, they fell upon him. And thank God he had the strength to bear them away because he's the sinless one, the perfect Saviour. And thank God this morning he took our sins in his own body. Therefore, he has the weight of the world upon his shoulders. Don't you try and bear it. Don't you try and bear it. You have someone's shoulder to cry on, the shoulder of your great high priest. And therefore, let's, as God's people, put our shoulder to the wheel and work for him. We're turning to